Love those who love you. Loving our enemies and expecting nothing in return, though, impossible.
But this is the way of Christ.
Remember, we'll never look into the eyes of someone who God doesn't love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to all to whom all eyes are open, all desires known, from all whose no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts in inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Through my perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. For your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit with Christ. May live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Christ.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, make us instruments of your peace, that where there is hatred, we may sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Grant, O Divine Master, that may we seek to console, to understand, and to love in your name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning. The first reading is from Genesis, the 45th chapter. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep you alive for your many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked to him." The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 37 responsively with me. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Forgive. And it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken, running over will be put into your lap, and for the measure you give, you will get the measure you get back. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. I'm not gonna lie, I've read that last verse there like 20 times, and I still don't understand what it means, so I don't know. So, needless to say, I'm not preaching on that part. Dennis, did you move that back there so I wouldn't be so close to you? Here, I'll move it about halfway. Anybody feel good? Feeling good after Jesus' sermon there? Yeah? No? Maybe not? So, I gotta say, this is a mediocre sermon. Not my sermon, of course. Mine's gonna be great as always, right? Don't say a word. I'm talking about Jesus' sermon. This second installment of what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Plain, mid. I mean, there's a reason that this sermon is way less well known than we know the other one, the Sermon on the Mount, right? But who knows anything about the Sermon on the Plain It's like a solid C minus, maybe. And that's if I'm grading it on a curve. Just say it. If you see Jesus, don't tell him I said that. Seriously, listen to this nonsense that Jesus tells us today. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Really? Really, Jesus? I'm supposed to do this. It's preposterous. I don't even do that good of a job at loving those who love me, if I'm honest. Gosh, you're supposed to laugh at that. You're kind of, do we need to stand up and stretch and something today? So, I got to check. Are we all sinners here today? Yes, all of us, we agree. We're all sinners here today, okay. So according to Jesus, even sinners, even us, we love those all the time who love us, right? No, Lydia, no, you're not lying. It's true. Jesus states this matter-of-factly, though, like it has to be true that we love those who love us. But does he know us? I mean, he sets this like it's a pretty low bar here, like you should just be able to step over that one. But we fail time and time again. We trip over it. We smack our face on the ground. Do we do a great job of loving those who love us? So there's an adage about how well we love those who love us. I kind of like it. Romantic partners, spouses, parents, children, siblings, family, friends. We are much more likely to hurt these people, the people we love the most. And it makes sense to a large degree. First of all, there is more at stake in these relationships. So when we hurt these people more, when we hurt these people, the people we love, it hurts more because these are the people that are supposed to love us and they're the people that are we are supposed to love. Second, we typically spend more time around those that we love, and since we're human, and sin programs us to mangle pretty much all types of human interaction, we are more likely to sin against who? The ones we spend more time with, and therefore those we love. But I have to say, it's more than just these two logical things. Let me ask, has this ever been you? You spend a long day. You are out in the world all day doing whatever it is that you do. Maybe you're a student. Maybe you are working at your job. And you are dealing with all kinds of idiots. Nothing still, no laughter. You are dealing with idiots, right? Idiot coworkers, idiot customers. Idiot patients, idiot bosses. I know something about idiot bosses. I used to be an idiot boss, and trust me, I had tons of idiot bosses. Idiot drivers, right? Idiot drivers, thank you. I find it. Can I get an amen? Idiot drivers, idiot customer service reps. Oh, just idiots. So what do? We try to be nice. We try to be polite to all of these idiots, don't we? You should. And we smile, and we grit our teeth, and we say, have a nice day. And then we mutter under our breath and hope that they don't hear us, idiot. Right? So you make it home after this long day, right? You've been successful. Maybe once, Jack. Maybe you were successful once. You've bottled it up that day. You didn't tell the idiot that they are, in fact, an idiot. You didn't flip the bird at the car who cut you off in traffic, did you? Sure. Did you, Mike? You didn't do it. You didn't flip the bird at that guy, even though he really deserved it. And you show up at home. You show up at home, finally in that place where it's safe to be yourself, where you're loved unconditionally, and you walk in and you trip over one of the 50 shoes that your kids left on the floor after you get home from school, and what do? You all of a sudden take up all that pent-up anger and frustration, and you go, "Aah!" They said it's accurate. Right? Not that that's ever happened to me, right? But I can imagine how it might have happened to some of you all, right? Love makes us feel safe enough to say and do some pretty horrible things to people. To say and do some pretty, sorry, not just people, to those that we love. To say and do some pretty terrible, shameful things that we do to those that we claim to love the most. I mean, forget loving our enemies. That's a really high bar. But that low bar of loving those who we claim to love, our husbands and wives, our significant others, our children, our parents, our siblings, our friends, our caregivers, all those gathered in this space who we choose to worship with. How well do we do at loving them? Some of us may be great. Me, I have bad days. And what about, and this for some can be hardest of all, what about loving ourselves? What about loving yourself? Not that I would know, obviously we established this, but I bet after, you show up after work after a hard, long day and you go, all at your family, I'll bet it's pretty hard to look at yourself in the mirror and love yourself after that. Not that I would know, again. But you'd feel pretty unlovable after that. And if we don't love ourselves, what chance do we have to love our families and our friends and all the people we claim to love, let alone all those idiots out there that drive like maniacs? Don't know how to use mirrors, let alone our enemies and those who hate us. You see, the problem with Jesus' sermon, which I gave a C-, it's not Jesus. Jesus isn't the problem. It's not even the sermon. It's actually it's an A-plus sermon, okay? It survived for 2,000 years. Based on all the eyes I see folding down right now, I'll be lucky if you guys remember this one past the next 3 minutes. This sermon lasted 2,000 years. It's a great sermon from Jesus. The problem with the sermon is how we use it. The problem is us. I mean, spoiler alert, the problem's always us, isn't it? We hear these words from Jesus today, and we get so lost in the commands of them all that we forget that there is a promise here. These words, these commands, we use them constantly to bludgeon ourselves. We use them to bludgeon others. We are bludgeoned by them from holier-than-thou types. Oh, they're the worst. Or worst, sometimes your pastor stands up here and wags his finger at you and uses this sermon to bludgeon you with it. And don't get me wrong. We do need to hear commands. We do. These are commands from Jesus today. We need to be reminded that Jesus didn't say, but actually, you can hate that one person. I know, that one person you're allowed to hate. Sorry, Jesus didn't give that out. As much as we wish he did. We need to be reminded that. We need to be convicted by these words to see just how short we fall of these commands. Because it is only from this place that we can see how good the good news of Jesus Christ actually is. But we look at these words and we're like, what good news? We get lost in the commands. I mean, you heard these things. We're done for. We're toast. Who can love their enemy? You heard what the pastor said. We can't even love ourselves. You know what? If you hear those things and you're like, I can't do that, I can't do that, definitely can't do that one, then you're finally with me. You agree. And that's right where we need to be. You never, ever, ever, ever will live out these commands. Ever. None of you. So, some will do better than others. I could tell you which ones probably will. I'm going to. None of us will live them out perfectly. And most of us won't even do that good. We cannot, I repeat, we cannot fulfill these commands. We cannot fulfill the law. We're not going to do it. So I guess pack it in, go home. There is no good news for us today. Try harder and come back next week. And then I'll see if you get any good news. Right? And I'll tell you what, that's a grade F, as in fire your pastor immediately, sermon. You see, there is good news here, because Jesus isn't just a command giver. Jesus isn't just the law giver. Jesus is the one who fulfills the laws. Why? Because he knows that we are kind of terrible a lot of the time. I mean, not you all. And he knows we cannot fulfill the law. He knows that we don't always or rarely love our enemy. He knows that we usually don't do good to those who hate us, and that we often exchange curse for curse. It's no surprise to Jesus. We're not tricking him. And when we defy Jesus, when we defy God, might I be so bold as to say that perhaps, just throwing it out there, we might become, in those moments, enemies to Jesus? Perhaps, maybe. Enemies to his teachings and his commands. Enemies, in fact, to God's preferred future for this earth. And I gotta say, glad it's not me, but you all being enemies of Jesus, that's pretty bad. I wouldn't want to be an enemy of Jesus. Glad it's not me. Except for maybe being an enemy of Jesus is kind of how this all works out. Doing the opposite of what Jesus commands, hating our enemies, exchanging curse for curse, punching when punched, or who knows, sometimes we punch first. We show up as enemies of Jesus. But you're like, Sean, that's a little harsh, isn't it? I thought you were going to give us some good news. I mean, we're not actually Jesus' enemies, are we? Who could, I mean, you heard these commands. Who could actually live up to these commands, Pastor Sean? It's not rhetorical. Who could? Who could live up to these commands? Maybe the law fulfiller? Maybe Jesus? Maybe Jesus could live up to these commands. And in fact, that's maybe what Jesus did. Jesus is the one who would and did fulfill these ridiculous, impossible commands. And he gave them, even as he gave these commands, he knew that he would have to follow them all the way to the cross. How stupid was that? What must Jesus have been thinking as he gave this sermon? I have a thought. He's thinking, yes, Jesus, you will love these people, these so-called followers of yours, and it will be really, really hard to do. They will claim to love you, but they will oftentimes hate what you teach. You will do good to them even when they turn their backs on you. They will at times curse you, and still you will bless them. They will beat you, mock you, and abuse you, and you will pray for them. You will intercede to your Father in heaven for them. Even as you are dying on the cross, Jesus, you will pray, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And I can tell you, we do not know what we are doing. They will strike you. You will remain silent. They will take your clothing, and you know what you will do? You will give your life. You will give your life to those who hate you. You will give your life to those who took your life from you. Jesus did it. He did all of it. He fulfilled the law for us, knowing even as he gave these commands that each and every one of us would fall short of these commands each and every day, and not us, but he would die for it. And yet, wildly, it is crazy to me to think that even after all of this, Jesus knowing all of this, how far short we would fall. Wildly, God still includes us as part of this plan to renew God's creation. So you know what that means. It means that we do hear these commands, that these commands do matter. It means that we're not off the hook. We don't just get to go around hating people. That's not how it works. Unfortunately, sometimes. We are baptized into Christ's body, aren't we? Agreed? We have been clothed in Christ. And this is the only way. It is the only way, I promise you, it is the only way that clothed in Christ, in and through Christ, we can live into these commands. Not fulfill these commands. We will never fulfill them. But we can live into them, even just a little bit. And even then, we'll still fail most of the time. But through grace, we will wake up tomorrow, be renewed in our baptism, and we will try over and over and over again through grace. But we're not doing these things. We're not following these commands to earn grace. We can't earn grace. We will never earn grace, just like we can never fulfill this law. It's impossible. We've tried and failed over and over and over again to fulfill these laws, and we have the scars to prove it. But Jesus, he did fulfill these laws, and guess what? He's got the scars to prove it too. Jesus did what we couldn't do. He loved his enemies, and remember, that's us. And in so doing, he fulfilled the law all the way to the cross. And when that realization comes to us, when it washes over us, as it does when in the waters of our baptisms, we will find ourselves liberated in the good news whose name is Jesus Christ. And in that moment, we find ourselves free. Free to love ourselves, even when we fail, even when we to our loved ones for letting their shoes on the floor. We are free to love our loved ones and our neighbors and yes, even those who hate us. Because when we recognize and we perceive and when we feel, when we are wrapped in the freely given love of Jesus Christ, in the full knowledge that he could have, that he should have, by our own human standards, chosen hatred and cursing and damnation, and instead chose this ridiculous, impossible, nonsensical love. When this dawns on us, I can tell you it's life-changing. And it's world-changing. It will free us and it will free this world. And we too, in that moment, we will not be able to choose hate. And this, my dear siblings in Christ, is what frees us to love our enemies. Without Christ, it is absolutely impossible. With Christ, yes, we will fail. We will fail frequently. But sometimes, The love of Christ working in and through us, it will emerge victorious. It will overwhelm our brokenness, our sinfulness. And we will find it in our heart to love the one that we didn't know we could. And yeah, that includes when you look in the mirror. So, very, very solid Lutheran sermon there. I'd give it a B+, but that's if I'm grading it on a curve. So, with all of that Lutheran in you now, let me channel some of my Catholic blood, the Catholic blood that courses through my veins. I want to close with the prayer for peace that is deeply rooted in this sermon by St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, as to be understood, as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. What else can I say? But amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic.
Y'all awake? No, no. You could say yes, but it's no. Are there any additional prayers this morning for our prayers of intercession? Jeff who? Looking for Diane. I thought we had. Yeah, there she is. Okay. Diane, cancer free. Thank you. Any additional prayers? So I think this was announced last week, but with the weather and all, I'm not sure that everyone got this one. There was a very sudden and tragic death. A teacher from Bucyrus, 43, her name is Carrie Robertson. She passed away a little over a week ago. So Carrie is Amber Robertson's sister. Amber Robertson is Brian Shifley's significant other. So please keep the family of Carrie Robertson in your prayers. Keep Brian in your prayers. Keep Abby in your prayers. Yes, so Jean Hayes fell. We've been praying for her, but please continue. She fell, broke her hip, had surgery on Thursday, is recovering, and will be going to Mill Creek. And her son, yes, David, had triple bypass, is doing pretty well, what I heard. So, other prayers, let us continue. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and for all of creation.
Surprising God, you call us to love our enemies and to show kindness in the face of cruelty. What you ask sounds impossible. For us, it is. We pray that in and through you, we might come to love those who hate us, so that our actions may be a shining witness to your overwhelming grace of all. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We pray for leaders and policymakers. We ask that their words and deeds work to reduce violence, uncertainty, fear, chaos, and hatred in our nations, in our cities, and in our towns. Give your wisdom and discernment amid heated arguments and differing viewpoints, and bring enemies together to work for the good of all. God of grace,
we pray for the victims of abuse and violence. Provide safe shelters and new beginnings for those experiencing domestic violence and dangerous situations. Enfold with love all who seek your healing care, especially Jean, Kevin, David, Barb, Jennifer, Beth, Nancy, Krista, Diane, Dave, AJ, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Robert, Ed, Tina, Ken, Bobby, Nancy, Jim. And for those who we name now aloud or in the silence of our hearts.
The family and friends of Carrie Robertson, for Jeff,
God of grace,
empower our faith communities to be signs of your gracious love. Bless our local ministries that they provide hope and sustenance for those in need in Galleon and beyond, especially our meal ministries, prayer shawl, relationship with Mill Creek and CCSG, and the very ministries receiving our noisy offering. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We give thanks for the enduring witness of those who have died before us, especially the saints at First Lutheran Church. May their lives in you provide a witness for your ever-loving grace. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace. Continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of grace, your love reaches the heavens, your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we have offered in this service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of the star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It is at this table where we become one in Christ. Enemies, friends, loved ones, distinctions, all gone. So come, eat, drink, and enter into the body of Christ. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I was hoping it was spring. Well, they're pretty. I like them. All right. So a few announcements this morning. We will be having is it in here? Oh, no, I missed it. Anyway, this Wednesday we will actually hopefully have our Lutheran Partnership meeting here at 7 p.m. since we didn't have it last week, was dealing with a good deal of illness last week. So this Wednesday at 7 p.m. here at First Lutheran, we will gather with St. Paul for our Lutheran Partnership. Bible study, we will finish the last two chapters of Jonah on Wednesday, this Wednesday at 2 p.m. at St. Paul. And really the most important thing that I think I can announce is the, you're like, is there something else? What? Oh, I do have a technology meeting at 6 on Wednesday at 6 p.m., right? So if you want to have a say-so in the futures of technology here at First Lutheran, please show up for that. If you're really excited to work on our church constitution, which you're not, we have a meeting on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Anyway, but the really great one is next Sunday is Shrove Sunday. So I'm sure we've all heard of a Shrove Tuesday. Well, you're all here on Sunday anyway, so let's do a Shrove Sunday, which means that our meal ministry team, who is great at making pancakes anyway, is going to make us pancakes It's going to be a pancake bar with all kinds of toppings, some ham and some scrambled eggs and orange juice and all the things. So please be here next Sunday, and we will do that after worship. So for food and fellowship. So anyway, other announcements this morning. I say we collectively, like I'm great at making pancakes. Kevin's looking at me like, yeah, right, like you cook anything. Anyway, other announcements this morning. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.